we started off with at a high point. I mean, really, everybody else now has got to stand up and give us their A game, because Nick Coit of ABC Providence is in the leadoff slot today. Hello there, Nick.
I don't know, Rich. You got a great guest list there today. Mark obviously is on top of what's going on with high school sports. You got Danny Cashman. Like, this is, you got yourself a list today, my friend.
Just another day here in the old downtown house, but happy to begin with you, as always, even if nothing was going on. But we've got a couple things. We'll get to the Red Sox, who have just been so much fun to watch this season and are now only a half game out of first. And today, the first move of the Brad Stevens as general manager era, shipping Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City along with a first-round draft pick for Al Horford, center Moses Brown, and a future pick. Were you surprised by this?
No, I'm not. I think people had sort of looked at it and said, you know, it might make sense. Moving on from Kemba, I think there was a feeling that that was going to happen. You know, happening this soon during the postseason before the draft combine, maybe not. Maybe not on a Friday morning like this in June. But you know what? You know, I give Brad Stevens credit for going out there and finding a dance partner in Sam Presti and the Thunder. And you know, it's one of those moves where, you know, I think having Al Horford come back is, you know, I think it's a good thing. But it's not like everybody's jumping for joy that you're trading away an all-star caliber guard who just didn't really work out all that well in the two seasons he was with Boston, and his contract bad. So, you know, but I give Stevens credit for, again, finding a trade partner and making this move so that he can, you know, retool this roster around Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown as soon as he can.
Yeah, they save some money in the process. And I don't know that Horford's a full-time guy, but he's a good guy to have on your team. He's a veteran presence, and he's a character guy.
Look, I think there's something to be said about players in any sport in Boston that work and have worked. Because sometimes you get people, you get players that they just don't gel with Boston. See Kyrie Irving. But a guy like Al Horford, it worked here. And he was a guy that they could rely on him defensively. They could rely on him to run the offense through. I thought the ball movement was pretty good when they could put it in his hands at the high post or, you know, at the elbow, and you know, guys could move around, get open, and the offense just seemed to have a little bit more flow. And for a team that, you know, struggled offensively at times this year and especially had a defensive rating that went down this year, having a guy like Al Horford back, I think is a good thing, even if it is on a contract that's, you know, not exactly desirable.
And now you've got a little room to maybe go out and get yourself a third guy to complete the latest big three.
Well, and that's what this deal is giving yourself flexibility financially and especially in the future, because it's the second part or the second year of Al Horford's deal remaining that's partially guaranteed, that can give you the flexibility if you want to go out and get another max player, another max guy next year, next offseason, to pair with Tatum and Brown. And I think those are the two building blocks right now. And if you can go out and do that, then you can compete sooner. And, you know, also, too, yes, the max slot is important, but if there's guys, if there's role players that you want to go out and sign now to help Tatum and Brown, if you do want to re-sign a guy like Evan Fournier, I think this gives you more ability to do that, which is a good thing, because it's not just about the top end of the roster. As we saw with this Celtics team, their bench needs a lot of help. And so if you can start that process right now, you know, all the better for the Seas.
We're talking with Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. So a big Celtics news. The Red Sox get ready to open a series at Kansas City tonight with Nick Pivetta on the mound, finding ways to win. Some struggles with pitching lately, but heroes up and down this roster, including a guy who's rapidly becoming one of my favorites, Christian Arroyo.
Yeah, he really is. He's had a heck of a month of June, obviously. And when you have guys like that on your roster and they're able to do that for you, again, we were just talking about the Celtics and role players and bench, right? Like, Christian Arroyo is not a guy that they signed to this team and they said, man, this is, you know, this is a sexy pickup. It's a big name. But it's a guy that's going out there, and he's been reliable for you. And, you know, to come up in the spot that he did the other night and pinch hit and put a grand slam in the seats, I mean, that's that's really something. And it's great to have guys on like that on your roster. It sort of reminds you of, you know, the Red Sox teams that have had success in the past. Having those guys that can come up in big spots and get it done for you, there's such a value on it. And if you can do it with the Red Sox, you know, that's all the better. Again, guys that work in certain places. You know, if this guy works here and he can come up big for you, that's a great thing.
Right. He's this year's Mike Karp.
Yeah. This year's Mike Karp, Bobby Kilty, you know, Steve Pierce, you name it. Like, that's, but those guys are important. And we think of those names, Rich, when, you know, these spots come up in the past.
Let me ask you about this, Nick. A lot of talk these days about, spin rate and foreign substances on the ball. Where do you come down on this? Has Major League Baseball gone too far, and are we likely to see somebody get hurt because someone uncorks a 99-mile-an-hour fastball and has no idea where it's going?
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it, the way that this has gone? I don't know. I think in some regard, I understand that, you know, when Tyler Glasnow came out and spoke the way he did, it was honest, it was candid, and he really truly believes that he got hurt, you know, by going cold turkey and not having anything to grip the ball. But at the same time, you know, we never heard this from pitchers, you know, well in the past. And, you know, there are guys in the past, I think of like a guy like Greg Maddux, who made a Hall of Fame career on pitching to contact, right? So it's sort of like, okay, well, in one regard, I feel that it's tough that these guys are going cold turkey and they're out of their routines. But at the same time, you know, tough luck. You got to learn how to pitch. Sorry, guys. Learn how to pitch. Learn how to pitch to contact, you know. And in some ways, you know, hearing Garrett Richards the other night say that, oh, I think the game's going to slow down because of this. In some ways, maybe it will. But if guys are learning to pitch to contact, guess what? The game's probably going to move a little faster because the ball's in play more. So, I don't know. It's a really interesting push and pull, but I think I've heard my fair share of comments now from pitchers speaking out against it. Tough luck, guys. This is what it is. The rules have been changed, so you got to adapt to it.
What about the thought of maybe adjusting the mound back 6 inches?
I've never really sort of given it a ton of thought. I thought one part of what Richard said the other night was interesting. Like, you don't see a lot of guys go to the rosin bag, so is it time to update the rosin bag? Maybe that's something. Maybe there's something on the rosin bag. I don't know what kind of substance that these guys put together. Reading the Sports Illustrated article and hearing about some of the things that guys have been using to grip the baseball, like, I don't know, you put melted Coca-Cola on it? I have no idea. But, you know, as long as there's an update to it that's, you know, sort of on fair grounds, then I'd be okay with that too. So, look, any change with baseball, any sort of hint at it is, I don't know, it's not necessarily a bad thing because the game does need some updating because other sports have updated as they've gone along and baseball has sort of stayed where it's been for a long time. So moving them on back, you know, maybe, sure, we can explore certain things, but I think exploration is a good thing for the game.
Yeah, and I would just like to get back to a time when, real defense, not shifts, mattered, and when guys were up there trying to advance runners and everything wasn't either a home run or a strikeout.
I agree. I completely agree. And I think that may be part of the psyche with baseball and the sticky stuff conversation right now is trying, again, to get the ball back in play and to get more strategy in the game. So we're not talking about, you know, spin rate for the pitchers and home runs or strikeouts for the batters. You know, you would love to see more, you know, strategery, as you will, in the game, because I think it's a great thing. And you're right. It's sort of gotten more and more dim as time has gone on here at the pro level.
Nick Coit, ABC6 in Providence. Nick, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for coming on with us last minute here to share your thoughts on the Celtics trade, the Sox, and all of that. And hope you have a great weekend, and we'll do it again before too long.
Pleasure as always. Sorry if you heard my beeping on my phone. I'm using my secretary, my GPS, as I go out for our busy weekend of high school championships here in Rhode Island. I know Mark's going to be talking about, you know, Maine high school championships. It is a busy time of the year for sports, but it is always nice to chat with you for a few minutes, my friend.
Appreciate it, Nick. We'll catch you soon.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. Nick Coit, ABC6, Providence, Rhode Island, talking with us here on Downtown.